Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Hey, Undisputed listeners. Before we start the show, I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com. Reimagined for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, are just one click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. Download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com now. Let's start the show.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Pro Football Focus has named Josh Allen their breakout player of the year. Allen has come a long way to make the AFC Championship this season. His first two seasons, he finished in 40th out of 41 in completion percentage. And this past season, he turned things around and finished all the way up at fourth. So, Shannon, how do you explain this dramatic turnaround?
Skip, guys that are really good and they normally take this step by their third year. Skip, you've heard a lot of people say this. By their third year, you'll pretty have a pretty good indication of what the guy is and what direction he's headed in. Now, somebody, you know, sometimes guys, they move that up. We look at a situation like Patrick Mahomes, Skip. His second year, he was an MVP, threw for 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards. You look at Lamar Jackson in his second season. He was a unanimous MVP. So sometimes guys bump that up. But you could see there was a reason why they took this kid, the fifth pick in the draft? Buffalo did out of Wyoming? And the only person I ever heard of that's come out of Wyoming was a basketball player, Finis Dembo. When he did that number on UCLA, Skip, I think back in, 81, 82? Mm-hmm. Maybe a little later than that. He dropped 40 on their head. So that was the only person I never heard of a football player coming out of Wyoming. But when you take a guy out of one of these small schools, they's like, this kid got some talent. It's probably just unpolished. Mm. So if we can get him taught up, get some people around him, he can be pretty good, Skip. Mm. So he speaks about how he worked on his mechanics because he was not very accurate his rookie year, but he got better. He got better from first to second, and he got exponentially better between second and third. And I know everybody keeps saying he got Stephon Diggs. Does people realize Stephon Diggs had 63 catches last year in 15 games? Josh Allen doubled him up, 127. When he threw the ball other than somebody than Stephon Diggs, he still completed 70% of his passes, 29 touchdowns. Mm. So this notion, I think it goes both ways. Stephon Diggs definitely helped Josh Allen, but Josh Allen is going to make Stephon Diggs a lot of money, Skip, because if I'm not mistaken, his contract's up. But you can just say, Skip, he has it all. He's big, arm talented, he's mobile. So there's nothing not to like about this kid. And I don't believe, Skip, this is a blip on the radar. Mm. This might be the new Brady Manning with him and my homeboy. Because it looks like the way they're built and the way they're set up, Skip, they're built for the long haul. They're built to do this for a while.
Mm. So you're saying that Josh Allen will become Peyton Manning?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Well, that's what you said. They're the new Brady Manning, and so
as far as what we think, the two best quarterbacks in the AFC fighting it out. One of y'all somebody gonna have to get left home. Mm. Somebody get left home because I'm sending your butt packing like that, Skip. You can't. When somebody says, when we say the next bird of Magic, that doesn't mean necessarily they're going to be, oh, so you try to say he going to be Magic Johnson, he going to 9 finals in 12 years, or he going to be the next Larry Bird, he going to win 3 consecutive MVPs. That's not what it means, Skip. Mm. It's just a...
Okay. I got it. My turn. In my career, my lengthy career, I have never seen anything like the turnaround that Josh Allen experienced or showed us this year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dumbfounded, I'm baffled, I'm lost over it because I was blessed in my career to have become very close to the great Bill Walsh. I think he's the greatest coach ever. And I spent a whole lot of time as a young columnist in this business around Tom Landry. And those two great coaches taught me this, that you cannot coach or teach accuracy in a quarterback. They either have it, they're born with it, or they don't have it. You can't dredge it out of them. You can't show them how to be more accurate, because it's just something, it's the hand-eye coordination gift that you can either do it or you cannot.
Right.
Josh Allen just exploded that concept, because all I've heard from people, you know, I've heard the same thing, Terry Bradshaw here at Fox, Troy Aikman here at Fox, that they often say you can't coach it. You either are accurate or not. And both of them have had some
accuracy problem.
Yeah. So, I mean, they've had some issues with Josh Allen.
Oh, yeah.
Accuracy,
yeah.
And I think that was the draft.
Not Troy. Troy was pinpoint accurate.
Okay. No, Troy was pinpoint accurate.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about they have had some issues with Josh Allen.
Right.
Because I believe that was the draft Troy broke down, you know, where he actually graded the quarterbacks.
Yeah, yes.
And he had some issues with Josh Allen's accuracy, as did I at Wyoming. Everybody did.
Right.
Which is why when they took him fifth, it's like, okay, good luck, because he's a specimen. He's 6'5", what do we say, 245?
240, easy.
Okay, easy.
Easy.
And he can move, and he's fearless, but can he consistently throw it to where he looks? Can he see it and deliver the ball to that pinpoint spot?
I think what he's gotten better at, Skip, is anticipating.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of time college guys, Skip, they want the guy to be wide open. And guys are normally wide open in college. But if you notice, Skip, a lot of big arm quarterbacks suffer from accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't know when to put it on and some when to take it off.
Okay.
They throw everything with the same speed.
Got it. I got it. So in uncatchable passes, in his first 2 years, Josh Allen was worst in the league. At 26% of his throws were deemed uncatchable. Mm-hmm. This year, he's improved to fifth in the league in uncatchable passes. That's just an extraordinary, mm-hmm. impossible turnaround. I've never seen anything like that.
Right.
Okay, so you're discounting the impact of Stephon Diggs.
No, I didn't discount it. I didn't discount it.
All right, but you said, well, he still threw to others and completed 70% of his passes. By the way, look at his accuracy from year to year. He's 53% his rookie year, 59% the second year, and now he's 69%, which was fourth best in the league. That's impossibly great. I read that he went to a throwing guru, or he worked on his mechanics. I got that. But can you learn it? Can you teach it? Can you coach it? I've been taught no. So now I look at Stephon Diggs' impact. Who led the National Football League in targets this year among all receivers?
Stephon Diggs.
Stephon Diggs, and pretty sizable.
Oh, you got 127 catches. You got probably 160, 170 targets.
166 targets. Actually, it was six more than DeAndre Hopkins had from Kyler. 166 targets. It was 59 more targets than Cole Beasley got in the Buffalo offense.
Right.
So he's just getting the you know, wide bulk of the targets.
But here's the thing, Skip. You got a slot receiver that's second, which the throws are a lot closer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to bump your percentage up.
Okay. So a year ago, John Brown led this team in targets. He was hurt much of this year.
Right.
But he had a grand total of 115 last year. All of a sudden, it goes up to 166 for Stephon.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't blame Josh Allen, because that man against Baltimore the other night, I just sat back at the end of the game and said Stephon Diggs was the best player on the field.
Yeah.
Because he just takes the game over. He is uncoverable.
He makes tough contested catches, Skip. He's tremendous run after the catch. He can get deep. He can get intermediate. He runs great routes. But, Skip, and like you said, that's the thing that you want to see. Okay, you come in as a raw rookie, and you say, okay, these are some of his limitations. And I remember talking to Ozzie from my podcast, Skip.
Mm-hmm. Ozzie Newsome.
Ozzie Newsome, the general manager. He's still in Baltimore.
And obviously a Pro Football Hall of Famer as a tight end.
As a tight end. Mm-hmm. And he said, boy, he said, you know, a lot of times people keep telling you, well, he can't do this, he can't do that, he can't do that. Well, what can he do? So we're going to find out what he can do, and we'll put him in that situation so he can succeed. Josh Allen probably said, you know what? My accuracy needs to improve. Let me go see someone that could possibly help me, and let's see what can happen. Okay, I got Stephon Diggs. They probably got together at some point in the offseason, Skip. They're like, oh, okay, I like this. And Cole Beasley.
And all the reports are that they hit it off.
They
really clicked with each other.
Mm-hmm.
They like to play video games. They have fun with each other.
Right.
And clearly, Josh Allen began to trust Stephon Diggs like he's never trusted a receiver. So when he sees any 14, I believe he's 14.
Yes.
So he sees 14, the confidence rises, because I can throw it to 14, and maybe I don't have to throw it pinpoint to 14 because he's just going to catch it.
He's going to make those tough contested. Right? And everybody, Skip, all quarterbacks. I mean, Peyton had Marvin and Tom had. It was Wes Welker. Yep. And then it was Edelman and Amendola. Yep. He had Gronk. You have certain guys. DeAndre Hopkins has always been that. Larry Fitzgerald was that. Michael Irvin was that for Troy Aikman. When Troy needed the catch, they're going to call the bang eight or they're going to call that speed out.
Trust. Just absolute trust.
Yes.
When in doubt, eight went to 88. And it started to happen here. It's like Mahomes and Kelsey.
Yes.
When in doubt, he just looks for Travis Kelsey.
Yes.
Or Aaron and Devontae.
Yes.
He just looks for Devontae.
In situations, Skip, if I'm smart, if I play in Kansas City, if it's third and they're crucial,
yeah,
I'm doubling Kelsey and I'm doubling Tyreek.
Well,
I'm going to make him go to Sammy Watkins or Mecole Hardman or Marcus Robinson.
Well, I might triple Kelsey because Kelsey's just going to get open and he's going to throw it to him.
But you can't, yeah. But he has a lot of confidence in Stephon Diggs.
Mm-hmm.
And Stephon Diggs has definitely helped. But I think Josh Adams, so do you believe this is a trend? Do you believe he's going to not be this for years to come? Because I believe he's going to be this.
I do think Stephon turned his career around because he turned his confidence around in the back of his mind. And remember, Stephon caught 77% of his targets.
Right.
So that's his career high. So he's catching 8 out of 10 passes. He's just going to catch it.
Right.
So I think it helps if he could keep Stephon if they're going to.
Oh, he got no choice.
Yeah.
I mean, you get preferred. I think, did you give up a first rounder for him?
Yeah.
Because at the end of I think they took Justin Jefferson.
Yep.
In his place.
Well, it was worth it.
Oh, yeah. But you definitely going to pay him, Skip, because you still got Josh Allen on that rookie deal. Now, it's going to come due.
It will.
So you know the cutoff point for these guys moving forward is $40 million.
Yep.
That's the cutoff. So don't even think about no 38, 39. It's $40
million. I feel like you're an agent on the side.
No mercy.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
What's up, Undisputed listeners? It's your boy, Shay Sharp. I wanted to tell you about my new podcast, Club Shay Shay, where we always do something before two something. Each week, I sit down with a guest for a drink and conversation, and as host and proprietor of Club Shay Shay, I welcome in esteemed guests such as Snoop Dogg, Floyd Money Mayweather, LeVar Ball, Isaiah Thomas, just to mention a few. Whether I'm talking to an athlete, a musician, an actor, or a lifelong friend, Club Shay Shay is a place where people share inspiring and motivational stories about their journeys to prominence. The new episode drops every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to Club Shay Shay now and make sure you never miss a new episode. Now back to Undisputed.
No mercy.
Well, Anthony Davis said the Lakers are feeling some pressure to win tonight against the Bucks after blowing a 14-point fourth quarter lead against the Warriors earlier this week. In the loss, LeBron had missed three-pointers and three turnovers late in the game while also missing the potential game winner. So, Skip, I have to start with you here. How concerned should the Lakers be about that collapse?
LaShannon Sharp,
I
have bad news for you. They should be very concerned because what happened against Golden State was not just a rare occurrence for LeBron James. This is not a blip. It's been a trend. So I'm just going to lay the stats in the middle of the table. So if we go back over LeBron's last 20 games of fourth quarters, and that dates all the way back through last year's NBA Finals, from the floor, just overall, he's shooting 42% in fourth quarters over the last 20 games. Obviously, he's a 50% overall shooter from the floor in his career in full games.
Mm-hmm.
And from the three-point line, in those last 20 fourth quarters, he's only making 23%. And for his career in all games, regular season, he's a 34% career three-point shooter. Okay, now it gets much worse if you just do his last 7 games of fourth quarters, dating back to the San Antonio loss at home. He's just been a disaster. So overall, in those 7 fourth quarters, he is 5 of 24. 5 of 24, that's 21%. And that ranks 237th over that stretch of fourth quarters in the league. from three. He's 2 of 12 in his last 7 fourth quarters, which is 17%. That ranks overall 162nd in the league over that 7-game stretch. So, to me, LeBron's last 7 games of fourth quarters are the best-kept secret in basketball because I don't hear a peep about this trend from anybody because, to me, the blind witnesses, and there are billions of those out there led by LeShannon, they see no evil. It's like these numbers have been scrubbed from his internet record. They've been expunged. They've been buried forever. Nobody acknowledges what's been happening in fourth quarters to LeBron James because I still hear his name even up to yesterday in the middle of the MVP, the early MVP race in the NBA. His PER has fallen all the way to 23rd in the league, which by his standards is scary bad. I mean, even Paul George has a better PER than LeBron James. And if you look at Paul George's fourth quarter numbers this year, man, he's 50% from the field, 44% from three, and has made all 12 of his free throws. So Paul George is playing at a high level, much higher than LeBron. So I will now hand it over to you to explain to me how these numbers just don't matter.
Well, without no explanation. They don't need to, first of all, to answer your big question and what Jeannie asked, they don't need to be concerned. LeBron James is playing the fewest minutes per game, the fewest fourth quarter minutes per game in his NBA career. He's also working with Dennis Schroeder now being the primary ball handler, and Mark Gasol. You told me that the other guys needed, you know, when the Clippers were losing, they talk about they needed reps. They need reps. LeBron and them still have tied for the best record in the NBA. But for some reason, there's something sinister going on here that we don't want to talk about. Maybe they need reps. Mm. I'm not saying LeBron has not shot the ball well this year. He hasn't shot the ball well in the fourth quarter. That's nothing. I mean, if you're watching the games, you see that. But we see, and I believe, I understand what they're trying to do. They want to make sure it was a fast turnaround, and LeBron, we can't be playing you 36, 37 minutes early in the season. So they're trying to keep the minutes low. I get all that.
Not missing games, though. He hadn't missed a game.
No.
He hasn't sat out a game.
Now, and I don't really understand. I don't know what they're going to do, Skip, as far as the All-Star game. I'm sure they're going to have, you know, okay, you get selected and you'll probably choose up teams. You're not going to play because I think it's going to probably end up being called off. But you're going to probably get a whole week off there. And I think they're just trying to get to that point, and then LeBron James, and then you'll see those minutes all of a sudden from going from the low 32s to maybe 33, 34, 35. I don't see him play it averaging more than 35 minutes per game. But he hasn't shot the ball well, Skip. Mm. Even with the blown fourth quarter lead, the Lakers have the 6th best net fourth quarter rating. So it's not like they've been an overall bad team. They haven't. They lost. They got reckless with the basketball. They stopped playing defense. Like the Nets didn't do the entire night play defense. They didn't play defense for one quarter, and it cost them the game. They also turned the ball over at a high clip. Mm. Cost them the game. But I'm not concerned about LeBron James. I'm not concerned about Anthony Davis. I'm not concerned about the Lakers. The Lakers will be just fine. They're working on their rotation. They're working on getting reps, getting continuity. Mm. And when that thing, watch it click.
Mm. So, against Golden State, is it fair to say LeBron was starting to lose some confidence? Maybe not in himself, but maybe in his team?
No, I think the biggest thing will happen with LeBron, and it happens to a lot of guys, is that when they don't get the calls that they think they deserve, and the superstars believe they deserve every call, doesn't matter how big or small it is, they believe they deserve the call. And when LeBron didn't start getting the calls, I think he started getting frustrated. Mm. I think he started to force some things that he didn't have to do. That's natural. Mm. I'm not concerned about LeBron James.
Okay.
You shouldn't be concerned about LeBron James.
Well, if I could remind everyone what happened in the last 4.5 minutes of the Golden State game.
They lost.
At Staples. If we could just remind everybody. here we go. Here's LeBron. Whoops, you was going to shoot a three. LeBrick. Let's try LeBron. You have to dribble before you go. You're traveling. Whoops. Okay, he was mad at Schroeder on that.
No, what matter, Schroeder? He just threw the ball to Kyle Kuzma right there.
Away. LeBron, you have to dribble before you run. Okay, there's a third turnover, and then here's a nothing but backboard. Nothing but backboard? Come on, LeBron. And here's the last shot. This was a tough one. Draymond kind of played a little bit of defense, his business partner on him, and he just missed it. But it was a clean look. It was probably the best look the best miss that he took.
And I seen a guy that missed two shots now that could have won games. I saw a guy, you say the best player on the planet. He had two games. In the last five, he had two shots to win the game. He didn't miss both of them now. And mid-range, you say he the best mid-range game?
Oh, you mean the one last night?
Yeah, the last night.
He wanted the ball and Kyrie didn't give him the ball.
No, in regulation. I'm talking about the regulation. He got it. He missed the shot.
Oh, that's the end of the first.
Yeah, the regulation.
Oh, at the end of regulation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he had that. Mm. And he remember, he missed the other one. Remember? He got it. He had two cracks at it. Kyrie missed it. He got the rebound. Missed it again. You saw that, right? That's two of them.
Who would you rather take the last shot, Kevin Durant or LeBron James?
I want the ball in Gold James'
hands. You want the ball in the planet's hands.
Skip.
Because he showed you in back-to-back NBA Finals that he was the MVP in LeBron's face in his house.
All I'm saying is one guy has made more clutch shots than KD. One guy has more finals and finals MVPs and regular season MVPs than KD. Now, that's what you say. That when you give me the Jordan argument, that's what you tell me. You tell me one guy has this, and this. So therefore, Shannon, he can't be that. Now, on the flip side, one guy's doubled him up all across the board. And now he better. Now, I need you to pick one side, pick one lane, and stay in it because you sideswiping
me. I'm staying in it that Kevin Durant is unstoppable right now.
Can I ask you a question?
He's at his peak.
Let me ask you a question.
He's 7 feet tall, and he shoots mid-range like nobody I can remember since Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
Skip Bayless, if you don't mind me asking, tell me the time that you heard the comparison, the GOAT comparison, between Kevin Durant and Michael Jordan.
I don't care about that because there should be no GOAT comparison because the GOAT is the GOAT.
Okay,
and it's over and done.
You know who the GOAT is.
The only blasphemy that I ever hear is LeBron is better than Jordan.
Let me ask you a question. How many times have you ever heard that Kevin Durant is the second greatest basketball player to ever play?
Well, he's just getting started. You give him about 8 more years.
Oh, you'll play 8 more years?
Yeah.
You're going to play 8 more years?
Sure,
huh?
At this level.
8 more years, so that'll be 22 seasons.
Remember, Kevin's not a leaper by nature, so he's so long and so gifted.
22 seasons.
He'll be nailing these 10, 12-foot jumpers for 8 more years. Sure.
Long as they're not to win the game, he'll be fine.
How many championships he's going to win? But he could get to 6 at this rate.
He ain't going to beat us. He ain't going to have more than us.
I think we're seeing a budding dynasty in Brooklyn right now.
Okay.
Greatest show on earth.
Okay.
Nothing but nets.
You saw what happened to the Ewing dynasty. Oh, Jock Ewing, Ujai JR.
Nothing.
It lasted a long time, though.
Creative. Interesting.
No mercy.
Hey, Undisputed listeners. It's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called the People Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness. Or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we can all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you.
No mercy.
Well, the Packers not only lost big to the Buccaneers week 6, 38-10, but they also had a difficult time protecting Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers was blitzed on a whopping 50% of pass plays through the first three quarters of the loss and was pressured on a season-high 30.8% of all pass plays in the game. It was Rodgers' only multi-interception game this season, and his completion percentage of 45 was his lowest this season. Former NFL quarterback Orlando Scandrick is joining us now. Orlando, will the Packers be able to fix this?
Absolutely. The easy fix. You go back and look at that game. The Packers were up 10-0 with the ball, getting ready to complete a good stroll in the park. Aaron makes a mistake. Dean anticipates, guesses right, pick six, changed the whole game. I don't look for Aaron to make those type of mistakes. And the X factor is going to be the weather. You can tell me what you want about Tom Brady playing in New England for 19 years, but when you've been living in 89 degrees and you got to go play in 18 degrees, it's a totally different story.
I agree. I think what happened was it wasn't the fact that they blitzed him. It was how they blitzed him. They brought a lot of double linebacker. They lined up Levante David on the outside and pressured him. A lot of times they were bringing linebackers and corners, and they were dropping Shaq, and they were dropping JPP, dropping Sue out in the passing lanes, knowing the ball's going to have to come out quick. I think these are adjustments, as you mentioned, oh, these are adjustments that the Packers can make rather easily. But the thing is, the question that I want to have is that, will the Packers run the football? And I'm not necessarily saying they have to run the football like they did against the Rams, because I don't see that happening. But you cannot let a defense play the run on the way to your quarterback, because if they do that, that's what happens. The game gets out of hand in a hurry. And we saw what happened last week. New Orleans had dominated Tampa in the previous two matchups. But what they do? They turn the football over. That's what happened in the first matchup. Green Bay, even though they were getting pressured, it wasn't until they turned the football football over, back-to-back possessions, it snowballed, got out of hands. And at that point in time, there are very few quarterbacks, very, very few, that when they have multiple turnovers early in the ball game, they're over to overcome that, because that's, you're like, man, I gotta be careful. I gotta be careful.
Yeah, I only think there's one quarterback right now that I'm comfortable with early turnovers in the game.
My homeboy.
You know who that is.
No, homeboy. Yeah. Everybody knows about him, Skip.
if you really want to dive deeper into this, and Skip, I know you're fuming. You can bet another case of dues, and then I'll use it. I'll use it for Shannon's dead again. but if you really think about it, Tampa's defense is really, really shaky. Aaron Jones is the X factor. He's great at running the ball. He's great at catching the ball at the backfield. But, you know, Adam Lazard has come on. Valdez Scantling is, you know, their deep threat. He's catching the ball. And Davante Adams is completely healthy. And he's rolling. And he's on a different level. And I think at this stage in Aaron's career, he's ready to do whatever it takes to win. And, you know, Green Bay's defense, they're equipped with pass rushers. They have long corners. They got Jair Alexander, who's a great corner. They got some ball hawk and safeties. And you know that I just don't think that Tampa Bay is committed to running. I think, you know, they faced a hobbled Drew Brees indoors. A lot of things went their way. The Jared Cook turnover in the third quarter obviously helped them swing the momentum back their way. And then Drew consistently threw it to the other team. But I don't look to see 12 on the green team do that. It's going to be a very exciting matchup, but I think this is the end of the road for Thomas, Green Bay in four quarters.
So what do you got? Packers by 21?
No, but I got Packers by 10. You know, South Florida and Green Bay is totally different.
Will you give me 9 for another case?
I ain't giving you 9. That's a sucker bet. You know, when I grew up, they told me, when you walk in the room, if you don't know who the sucker is, it's you. You gonna get that?
the sucker I'm talking to just said they're going to win by 10.
I didn't say 10. I said it went easy. I mean, I say maybe 10, but I ain't going to give you 10. I'll give you 7.
Oh, no. Lucky number 7.
I gave him 7 for 5.
So let's go back to that fateful day, October 18th, in 88-degree weather down in Tampa Bay. And you're trying to tell me, young Mr. Skandrick, that it was actually sort of a blip, not a trend, that Aaron made a mistake on the out route to Devontae. There's a corner blitz. I got to get rid of it a little quicker than I want to. And Jamel Dean picks it and houses it. And then he comes right back the next time, and it's another third one. This is the third down, 3rd and 3. And he throws it the other direction against, I think it was a corner blitz. That's what we figured. I think it's Murphy Bunting.
Bunting Murphy.
Yeah. And it gets popped up in the air, and Mike Edwards almost houses it, takes to the 2-yard line. So if at that point, obviously, I was rooting for Brady, and I thought, you know, silly me, I thought Aaron Rodgers would get it back together and make a game of it, because it was only 14-10 Tampa at that point. And guess what happened? After that, he had the ball 8 more times, and 7 of those times he punted. And at the end of the half, he got sacked by Sue, who's been in his head his whole career. And they just kneeled out the rest of the clock.
Wait. His whole career?
Yeah. Oh,
the Detroit Lions ain't been relevant none of his career.
Okay, but so Sue scares Aaron Rodgers. Aaron actually, after that game in Tampa Bay, Aaron tried to actually bury the hatchet with Sue by asking him to meet him after the game to hug it out.
What are you talking about? He said, no, we
hug it out. Who's ever hugged it out after a game?
Aaron's a nice guy. A nice guy with a good upbringing.
Yeah.
Probably got some terrific parents.
Yeah.
You know, was raised the right way. And I don't want to cut you off, but let's just go back. He threw the first interception, and Aaron Rodgers is a hell of a competitor. And it became kind of a thing where he didn't want to lose, so he forces it into Devontae the next time. And then, you know, the game kind of got away from him. But what promise you is, in Green Bay, Wisconsin, in Lambeau Field, it won't get out of hand for him. The stage is not too big for him. this is his chance to take the torch. He will take the torch. I'm saying Packers in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Versus my homie.
Against who?
My homie.
Oh, your homie. Okay,
yeah, homeboy.
Oh, okay, I got it. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Look, here's the point. Todd Bowles will come after you. And once he gets you on the run, he will try to bury you. And that's what happened in this game. Because through the first three quarters, Tampa blitzed 50% of the snaps. So every other snap, they're coming with another blitz. And Aaron Rodgers has usually eaten blitzes for breakfast, lunch, and dinner in his career. But that day, he did not. And that day, he had the best pass-blocking left tackle in all of pro football in David Bakhtiari, who is no longer able to play because he's gone for the year. Man, you don't think Todd Bowles is going to come after Aaron again? And one thing, Aaron has some LeBron in him. I compare them. He's got some front runner in him. Oh, if you can hit him in the mouth once early, and they are highly capable, he starts to flinch.
Like Tom Brady.
He starts to see ghosts.
Like Tom Brady.
I'll take Tom Brady's toughness, mental and physical, over Aaron's
skip
any
the man,
day of the week.
Skip the man drop like hot rocks.
Okay.
When somebody get close to him, yeah. I mean, the guy breaks the line of scrimmage and he drops down. So okay. Stop playing. This is what we know.
Though.
I heard this.
You don't want to get hit.
In 15 games, Aaron Rodgers had 48 touchdowns and three interceptions. In the one game against Tampa, he threw two picks and zero interceptions. Mm-hmm. Now, we saw
zero touchdowns.
And two interceptions. Yeah, yeah. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. We saw what Tyler Heinicke got, 23 points. We saw Taylor Heinicke got 23 points.
Okay.
Drew Brees. As banged up as he was, got 20 points.
Yeah, but how did he get him on a trick play by Jameis and a 54-yard punt return?
So do you believe?
They also left a lot of points on the field.
Yes.
Okay.
I believe Mike Thomas caught the first touchdown. He just wasn't challenged. They got to the red zone several times. They settled for field goals. Sean Payton decided to get cute when they were also on the other side. I think they were on Tampa 35. Get a 5-yard penalty. End up punting it. But if you really just want to look at this thing. In a microcosm, or you want to look at this thing in a huge bowl, or however you want to look at it, you want to look through a stethoscope, it's just time to pass the torch.
It's over, Skip. You hear?
It's over?
Yeah, Rodgers.
Tom Brady threw 40 touchdown passes this year, and it's time to pass the torch.
Is that more than 48? Is that more than 48?
Well, 40 at 43 is pretty great.
Well,
who had the higher degree of difficulty, Brady starting over in Tampa Bay or Aaron Rodgers?
But see, he keeps saying he's starting over, but look at what he's got. He made it start. If you want to impress me, go to Cincinnati and do what he's doing. Don't take two of the, because you tell me Pro Football Focus is the Bible. Pro Football Focus said the receiving core in Tampa was the number one receiving core in all of football. That's what Tom Brady linked up with.
Did he ever make it to Pro Bowl this year?
Did Tom Brady make the Pro Bowl this year?
No, he should have.
No, he shouldn't have.
Oh,
no, he
stop
shouldn't.
It. You know it, and I know it. They vote like five weeks before the season is over. And Brady had a December to remember.
They will vote two.
He brought this team to a boil right on schedule.
Yeah, but let me reel this back in. So the year Dez caught it, we all remember that year.
Do we?
Do you remember the resilience of Aaron?
He had a pool cap.
Do you remember the resilience?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then do you remember the year of the 3rd and 26 who my Uncle Shay Shay tried to pin on me?
It was
earlier in that year, we went down to Lambeau. Zeke ran all over, you know, but it just seemed like when we got in the playoffs and we got them in Dallas, they jumped all over us. Number one seed, 13-3, they jumped all over us. And it was a totally different, but we stormed back though. You know, we fought. We got it to a game.
You did.
And we gave up a big third down, and then Mason Crosby hit a 60-yard field goal, like an extra point. But we ain't going to talk about that. But it was just a totally different Aaron Rodgers. It was a totally different. And I think he's on a mission this year. And, you know, if you really want to look at this thing, Aaron was a part of getting Mike McCarthy out of there. And since he's got him out of there, he's been to two NFC championships. And, you know, he's on a mission to get to a Super Bowl and win another Super Bowl in his mind.
So help me out, young Mr. Skandreek. My memory gets a little foggy here, but just a couple of years back, it was overtime in the cold in Kansas City, and Tom Brady, he was only 41 then, he converted three straight 3rd and 10s with three straight completions.
We had a defense that couldn't stop a nosebleed, and now, you know, they got a defense, and it's totally different. And, you know, there's Gronkowski is walking out there. He ain't even running no more. You know, and they're not throwing on air. And, you know, to be quite frank, the pass rushers that were on that Kansas City team, opposed to the Darius Smith and Preston Smith, they're just, it's different.
Weren't you on the field that day?
No, I wasn't. Nope. I was tail end of my career. I was over there with a hot chocolate. I had the best seat in the house.
Aaron Rodgers, the last 2 years, 72 tubs, 10 INTs.
Yeah, but he hadn't played Brady.
Hey, Brady, you know, your day coming.
Here we go.
Well, yep. Aaron Rodgers wanted this matchup. He wanted it at home. And, yes, we are expecting cold temperatures, snow as well. It's going to be perfect football in Green Bay. Orlando, we appreciate your time.
No mercy.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.